Any first-time visitors? Welcome this morning. Any other first-time visitors? If not, again, welcome this morning. As far as announcements go, today is the committee meeting, so you might want to check with your committee to see if your meeting session meets at 6 today. Also, notice starting next week is Holy Week, and please make a note of things that are happening here at the church. Men's breakfast will be this Saturday at 7 o'clock. Also, articles for the April newsletter are due by next Sunday, March the 20th. That's all the announcements. The rest of them are pretty much self-explanatory. There is several announcements this morning, so please look at your bulletin at your convenience and read them. Do we have any announcements that we need to make? Steve?
Barbecue. Anybody that's interested in the barbecue in April, we have a meeting at 5:30 on Wednesday.
Meeting about the barbecue at 5:30 on Wednesday.
In the North Jack.
Okay. And that'll be right before our 6 o'clock dinner. Also, I want to thank everyone who either participated or helped in our clothing sale this spring. I've got all the tax keyed in, our numbers. I think CPW probably is going to end up with about $600 to add to our checking account, which is good. Again, I want to thank everyone. We've already set our next clothing sale. It's the last weekend of August, so I know that's far ahead, but we have already put it on the calendar. Are there other announcements?
See, two big, maybe gaudy signs up front. One over here, this is considered a diamond, or should be, and that is a discerning diamond, or seeking God's will diamond, and we start at the bottom, and hopefully we will climb up. On Wednesday evenings, we've been kind of going up the diamond, but we haven't got much past the first two. We haven't, or maybe three, and I really can't read from here, but we haven't done the clarifying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then the planning, and then the implementing. And that will now have to come after Easter. When we got into the process, we learned that we needed more time. We are still dreaming and visioning and hopefully being, and I believe we are, being open to God's leading to give us guidance in what the church will do in the next, 6 months, 10 months, 24 months, 60 months. Over here are the dreams and the visions, the ideas that people have turned in on Wednesday night. Now, you don't have to wait to be here on Wednesday night to turn one in. If you feel that God is speaking to you and the church needs to do something, God is calling you to that direction, write it on a note card. That you might want to tape it up here or put it up here. Last Sunday, somebody handed me a card. Wednesday night, the person that wrote it said, "Where's my card?" And I remembered the card, but I couldn't find the card. I read every one of these cards front and back twice to see if I had overlooked it, and found it on my car seat Thursday morning. So that was my problem, and I got the card from my car seat up here. So if you have one, you might want to bring it to the board and at least put it at the bottom, but I might lose it. I just happened to find that one. We can remember where it was. But anyhow, we have things for worship music, celebration, we have education. You see, the most of the suggestions deal with education / discipleship. That goes under that section of that. You can't read that from that distance. Anyhow, you want to call that to your attention. Pray, study, read. You read the Bible at home. If God reveal something to you. Jot it down. Put it on a note card, and we'll try to get it up here. You might have to defend it. I don't think you will. But we want input. Wednesday night, supper at 6, 6:45. The adults will be over here, and if you can be here, say, what are we? Oh, we'll be talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Yeah. And also, please fill out the RSVP if you plan on attending.
Teresa, I forgot one thing.
Yes.
For the people who brought the soup last Sunday, thank you. And we raised $275 for the youth venture to Denton.
Very good. Any other announcements? If not, please be sure and register your attendance on the pads that have been passed out. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Pam? Okay. Are there others?
Yes. Nancy has a friend. Well, she's our friend too. She's having heart surgery in the morning at St. Thomas. Her name is Jackie Harper.
Jackie Harper. Karen?
The little boy that we put on our prayer request list, you know, Tyler, Chase School at Granberry, he passed away Monday, and I went to the funeral yesterday, so just the Dowdy family, it's D-O-D-G-H-D-I-E.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Liz is in Missouri University, and there's a drama teacher winning to go at labor, and she and her baby, her name is Kim, and Liz is being with the baby, but he was born
okay. Pam? Okay, Janice, it's Rose Tidwell's friend. Pam? Ella Rains. Okay. Are there others? If not, please pray for those that we have mentioned this morning. There are a lot. Please pray for the ones that are on the prayer list. Pray for our armed forces, wherever they may be. We're also glad to see Sam and Kim back from their trip safely. We're glad you're back. Well, Louise, I didn't know you went. Well, all right, you go. She kept you in line, I know.
But that's a good
news. I bet. But we're glad they're back safely, and we're just thankful for the work that they can do to help those that are still in need. If you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive, if you will turn in your bulletins, please. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Let's all stand and read our hymns to hymn 198, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Let's sing the first and the last.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sins. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making you God's dear child. Purchasing peace and heaven, war on eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like the fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
Let's bow our heads. The call to worship called on us to come and give thanks. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for showing his grace to the person of his Son, Jesus. Lord, we come this morning to just thank you, to praise you, to give glory to you, to bow down before you, to express our deep gratitude. Lord, we are thankful. And we want to express it in your presence. And Lord, we know that your presence is everywhere, but we find this to be a special time so where we can recognize and be attuned to your presence. Thank you for this privilege of coming apart with fellow believers, fellow worshipers, people who have experienced your grace. Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we pray that when we are ready to depart from this place, we can go forth living lives out in the world that are expressing thanks. Someone has called it thanks living. Help us to live thankfully. Thankful for your many blessings, but especially the grace that you have shown us through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let me add one announcement concerning the building project. We got word Friday that the State Fire Marshal will leave a letter in his office, and we don't know what the letter's going to say, though. If the letter says, go forward, they might start this week. He's leaving it because he's going on vacation for 2 weeks. So it could be this week, if the letter says, go forward, or it could be after he gets back from vacation. So we don't know. We're waiting on the State Fire Marshal.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As He was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Turn, if you will, now, please, to hymn 172. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story, most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Yet was triumphant at last. Surprise this week that nobody else knows about but the ones on the mission trip. I got phone calls in the middle of the week asking if it was okay if our cooks cooked for 23 more people. So that was quite a surprise. Not only that, but it was 20 college students and three of their advisors. Kim made the mistake of letting them know that her granddaughter calls her Kiki. So the kids called Kim Glasscock Kiki all week. So Kiki is going to come and sing for you this morning.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my head.
Thank you, Kim. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sent us today comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Would our ushers please come forward at this time? Since Jeffrey's not here this morning, I'm going to read scripture this morning.
Andrew.
Oh, Andrew is. I was not. I'm sorry, Andrew. My mistake. Thank you. It was a little long.
Today we'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 18. Therefore, since God, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience to the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but the Christ as the Lord, ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in the jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressing on every side, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may always be revealed in our body. For who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but the life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With the same spirit of faith we also believe in. Therefore speak, because we know that one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for you, your benefit, so that the grace is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow in God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Through outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are being achieved for us in eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Kim, Teresa, Sam. Welcome back to all of you who have been out doing mission work. I made a discovery about 2 weeks ago. I knew about it, but I didn't know how interesting it was. The Message. How many of you have a copy of the Bible called The Message? One? Okay. I had a copy, and I tried to read it. It didn't speak to me. And about a week ago, I picked it up and read a passage, and it got my attention. So what I've done this morning, I thought we'd have a limited number of people who would have a copy of the Message, probably. Though part of it's been out since 1993, I believe. It was copyrighted. The translation was copyrighted back then. And that's on the back side of your scripture lesson. It's on the back side. Dr. Peterson, retired Presbyterian minister, translated this or paraphrased it. You might remember the Living Bible from the 70s, and then in the 90s, Dr. Peterson came and paraphrased it. And it's a loose paraphrase, very loose.
I wouldn't recommend it for study, but for reading and kind of support of NIV or KJV, I found it just the last couple of weeks to be really good. I've also provided a outline as such, or basically what I call an outline. The English professor wouldn't call it that, but whatever. And then on the back, I have given some questions for discussion. We'll be discussing these Wednesday evening, but these can be considered questions for study or for consideration. So it's there they are before you. That's what all of that is. I'd like to think about the times that we have been have done something, and somebody came up with a suggestion how it could be done better or differently. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I've discovered that whatever you do, somebody is going to give a suggestion. Suggesting that you do it differently. They're going to do it. And they can't help it, I don't think. Have you ever experienced that? If they don't suggest that you do it differently, they will question why you did it at all. Why would you do such a... And it might have been very important to you, but they will say, why did you do such a stupid thing? It's happened to me over and over. It makes me think sometimes that I'm a little stupid. I know better. But anyhow, if you don't do anything, somebody is going to think and suggest. They won't keep their thoughts to themselves. They're going to think and suggest that you should have done something. Anything. Is that the way you experience life? Or am I in a different world? If you do something, somebody's going to do one or two things. Suggest that you do it differently, or should have done it differently, or that you shouldn't have done it at all. If you don't do anything, they're going to suggest, well, you ought to do something. It doesn't matter if you are the president of the strongest country in the world, or if you are a traveling preacher from Tarsus living in the first century. It doesn't even matter if you are God. God Himself. God can give us sunshine and somebody will say He should have sent rain. And God can send us a rain, and it's usually a soft rain or a hard rain. Is that right? Sometimes it's a middle ways rain. But if you send us a hard rain, somebody will say, this is good, but it's going to run off real quick. It's coming too hard. And God should have sent us a soft rain. You've been there, haven't you? Over and over. Developers. Subdivision developers, shopping center developers. Have you watched them? Have you driven by? Their money, their houses, their investment. I don't have a penny invested, but I can think. They're spacing those houses too close together. Of the grocery store right across the county line. What do we think about it? Where are they getting all of that rock? You mean they're going to put two grocery stores there? If they want to lose their money or if they want to go in business big, it's their business. But somebody going to make a suggestion. I've heard and I've made suggestions concerning the spacing of houses in the subdivision and the moving of rock at the county line. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul received a lot of criticism. And we see the criticism that he has received, part of it, in this passage that we're dealing with today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We said that Paul wrote a letter, normally it was in response to some problem in the church and maybe some criticism of himself. They wrote Paul letters, and he'd write back and respond after he established the church and left. So the Apostle Paul received a lot of criticism for his work, especially from the people in Corinth. But not only Corinth. Of course, Paul had been instructive. I guess when the preacher's doing it, it's not criticism, is it? It's instructions. So Paul had been very instructive, or been very diligent in instructing the people in Corinth on a number of subjects. He instructed them about a lot of things, and one of them being communion service, one of them being about eating meat, just a lot of things. Paul's situation was, though, and being the preacher, I can identify with that somewhat. Paul saw that as his job. Paul had received a revelation from God. He had been sent by God, or called by God, and then sent. And he felt, in this case, he had been sent to make adjustments in the way the people believed. They were believing wrong. They were still believing in sacrifices as a way to be free of their sin, animal sacrifices. And he'd write and say, no, it's Jesus who has taken away your sin, not the animal sacrifice. They were believing it was necessary to be circumcised to be a Christian. And he says, forget it, folks. Circumcision has nothing to do with being a Christian. So he was making these adjustments in the way they believed, and in the way they lived, and in the way they carried on, or the way they did things in the church. And Paul had, in his mind at least, he had received the message from God. And when he didn't receive a direct message from God, he would say, I really don't have a direct message from God concerning this subject, but it seems to me. Was that back in the, was that the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians? Maybe these people were just tired of Paul always criticizing them. And maybe they saw it as criticism. And maybe they didn't think that they needed to be instructed. Maybe they were thinking, well, we can understand this. God can speak to us too. Maybe they were tired of him always correcting them. Maybe they were kind of fed up with Paul. He had been their organizing pastor, but he had left them. And why was he coming back and meddling with them? Maybe they just wanted to get back at him. Maybe they wanted to show him, Paul, you ain't perfect yourself. Whatever the reason, the Corinthians, their criticism of Paul was harsh. I'm convinced that a lesser person would have given up, packed his bags, and hightailed it back to Tarsus. And back in Tarsus, I can believe that a lesser person would have spent the rest of his life complaining about those who had complained about him, or criticizing those who had criticized him. I was doing a good work, and they kept criticizing me, so I just gave up and went home and won't sit here and complain. But not Paul. He would not give up. God had called Paul. Paul had had an encounter with Jesus Christ. You can read about it in the 9th chapter of Acts. He was going to Damascus to arrest Christians, followers of the way, those who were following Jesus, believing in Him, trusting in Him. He was going to arrest them and bring them to Rome or to Jerusalem or somewhere for trial for being disruptive and among other things. On the way, he had an encounter with Jesus. Read it in Acts chapter 9. He quotes it. He recounts the story twice more in the book. He had had an encounter with the risen Christ. Dead, buried, risen. Ascended. And Paul had a story to tell. And he had a message to give. He had a church to establish. Churches to establish, if you will. Individual congregations. He had individual congregations to establish all over the then known world. All over the Mediterranean area. He tried even to get to Spain. We don't think he made it. Or we don't have the record of it. He had a job to do, and he was called by God to do that job, and the Apostle Paul was not about to quit and go home no matter what the criticism was. He would stand up to the best of them. So it was his decision, because it was God's decision, or he understood it to be so, to hold on. Thus the title of the sermon, Hold On. It was Paul's decision and the work that he was called to do, working with these churches and getting them to be really Christian churches. It was his decision to keep at it, to keep hammering away, to keep pecking away, to keep on keeping on. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the part printed before you, it opens with Paul saying, since it is God's ministry we are engaged in. God's ministry. Since it is God's ministry that we are engaged in. I would have misplaced it. The scripture from the Message. If you will turn over. Verse 1 of the Message, paraphrase. Since God has so generously let us in on what He is doing, God's doing a great thing. And Paul thinks from the position that God has been generous to allow him to be a part of this great work. Paul's work was not done out of necessity or drudgery. He was excited about being a Christian and helping other people become Christians. So he says, since God, this is a paraphrase, I said a loose paraphrase, since God has so generously let us in on what He is doing. A ministry from God. And He was privileged. He was privileged to be a part of it. We do not lose heart. God's ministry, something bigger than all of us, something bigger and greater than this existence in this world, something eternal. God is doing something marvelous, something that will last through eternity. And He's allowed us to be a part of it. And Paul says, I will not lose heart. I'm going to keep at it. We do not lose heart. At this church, we've been talking about for 5 weeks, I think it is, seeking God's will, discovering God's will, discerning God's will. This portion of the church that is called Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church, this portion of the Church of Jesus Christ that gathers at 2501 York Road. Seeking God's will is not a simple matter. What God reveals, that's not a simple matter either. What God leads us to, or what God shows us. What we learn as we seek God's will will not be a simple matter. It might be simple to do, but it's not a simple matter. Dr. J. Earhart Brown recently became president of Memphis Theological Seminary, and he wrote some Bible studies, and I have leaned on it for this lesson this morning. He says, seeking and learning God's will for a life, a church, a denomination, it can be scary. He says it takes time. It's not a quick fix for anything. It takes commitment. And it makes us vulnerable. Now, it's scary sometimes to share with others. Face to face, eyeball to eyeball, our hopes and our dreams. But it's more scary to share our fears because we're already fearful of them. The question arises, do we really want to hear from God? If God shakes us up and moves us around some way, do we really want to hear that? Wouldn't we rather follow the way we've always done it? Or wouldn't we rather follow our own plans? Do we, Sunday after Sunday, remember that it is God who calls us together? Did God call you here this morning? Sometimes after a while we kind of forget it, but it's a habit that we're into. But I believe that God called me into the church to meet with other people on a regular basis. And I believe that He keeps calling, keeps reminding me. It's God that is present in our worship, or He says He is. It's God's battle, too. The battle that we talk about, a fighting song. And one we learned is God's battle. It's not ours. It's God who sends us into the world to love our enemies as well as our friends. And sometimes we don't want to love our enemies, do we? We'd rather stay mad at them. When we receive a message from God, when God speaks, then there's another scary part. We have to decide whether we're going to follow God or whether we're going to ignore Him. And we either do one or the other. In seeking God's will, we have to decide, do we trust God? Do we trust in the power of God? In following Jesus Christ, in seeking His leadership, do we really believe that the way of Jesus is the way that life really ought to be? That's the way to life abundant. People, we need to know that it's God's work that we are involved in. It's by God's mercy that we are involved in this work. He didn't have to call us. There are other people that He could have used. And knowing that it's God's work that we're involved in, and it's by His mercy that we are involved in the work, like Paul, we do not lose heart. We do not give up. Rather, we hold on. Or we keep at it. Why? Because we have a great treasure to share. A really great treasure to share. We have Jesus. We have the message of salvation that Jesus provides. And we have the message of eternal life in Jesus. And that's our ministry. That's our work. It's shaped by the cross, Jesus dying there. demands perseverance. It demands patience, waiting for God. And it calls for a commitment to do and to be what God reveals. Giving God control of our life. Giving God control of the church. Opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. Seeking to hear the voice of God. Seeking to be empowered by God. We must never lose heart. Fanny Crosby, do you know who she is? She wrote a song, Never Give Up. It says, never be sad or desponding. And Melanie, if you'll come. Never be sad or desponding if thou hast faith to believe. Grace for the duties before thee. Ask of thy God and receive. He will give you the grace to do the duties that He has called you to. And then the refrain for this song is, never give up, never give up, never give up to thy sorrow. Jesus will bid them depart. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest. Trust in the Lord and take heart. Another song by Fanny Crosby is called Hold Fast. O sailor on the treacherous sea. Can you see yourself as being a sailor on the sea? Though rent thy every sail may be, your sails are gone. Though all the earthly hopes are past, and thou art clinging to the mast, the refrain is, hold fast a moment more. Behold a light upon the shore. Though scarce a beam thine eye can see, thy Savior comes to rescue thee. And then another one, by Fanny again. It's to the work that's before us. To the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. And then the refrain here is toiling on. Toiling on, toiling on. Toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope and trust. Let us watch and pray and labor till the Master comes. And heaven will surely be worth it all. Turn, if you will, I believe it's 4:10. Let's sing the first and the second stanza. And let this be our, not only our calling, but our expression before God of being a part of a determined people serving Him. 410, 1 and 2. Thank you.
Yes, Lord, so let it be. Let us be your people going forth into the world. Amen. Hey, sir. Who's that girl? Hey, good to see you. Hey, sir. How are you doing? Good to see you. How are you doing? Okay. Hey. Hi. Good to see you. How are you doing? Okay. Let's go. Okay. Well, I'm trying to see. See, I got a little red spot there. I don't know what happened.
It's my well, baby.
Give me five. Okay, but you have to play this a second time and step through the whole thing. Good to see you. Hey there. How you doing? Hi there. And you are? Have you been here before? I seem like I've met you. With Gwen Hines.
I don't think I've
ever. Okay, well, good to see you. You live in the neighborhood?
Yes, I live in Stonebrook.
Okay.
And my husband's out of town. I visited his family in Kansas.
Okay.
So I thought I'd take the opportunity to go up to the church for members of
okay. And where are you members?
First Presbyterian.
First Presbyterian, way downtown. Hi. Yes. Okay, well, good to see you with us today.
Actually, I'm Frank Road. You used to be
downtown. Yeah, well, that, yeah. Downtown, I mean, downtown, and it's downtown Presbyterian now, and then Franklin Road now.
Yeah.
So good to see you then. Yeah. And come again, and all those good things. Yeah. Okay. Well, and so meet Louise, and meet Teresa, and meet Michael. And this is Gwen. This is Mike. Gwen. Brand new first time visitor. She slipped in.
Okay.
Or even the Mustang. Hi, how are you doing?
Summer face on
my summer face. Well, I'm trying it. See, I still got some red bumps.
Yeah.
I don't, they'll come and go. But I didn't use the scraper today. I used the rotary thing.
Well, I was encouraged by somebody a long time ago to wear a bag over my ears.
Okay. That's what they did. Abraham Lincoln.
A legend.
Being ugly, man. It was an ugly guy.
Lectionary? Yeah, I'm not calling it right now, but it's sometimes I do.
We have a very good friend
who preached
to me.
Okay.
We had supper with her last night.
Okay.
She was preaching.
Okay.
Where
is she preaching?
At Trinity.
Trinity, over on Hillsborough Road. Right, yeah. And is she the minister there?
Yeah,
okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, we follow lectionary sometimes. It's a 3-year, you can get a 3-year or 2-year, but most people now follow an A, B, and C, and it's prescribed, and you get an Old Testament lesson, the Psalms, in addition, so you get 2 Old Testament lessons, you get a letter and a gospel. And something else.
Because she was telling us, she said, you'll probably be hearing something.
No. Well, what I've been doing, we've been going through this 5 weeks, or well, 6 weeks of Wednesday night special studies. And I'm kind of following one of the professors at our seminary. Went to a convention, small group, and used these lessons. So I'm borrowing his outline. I can't stick with it.
Well, I was wondering. Yeah. I wouldn't know anything. We're not talking about
God. Okay, most people don't. Only Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Episcopal, and Lutheran would follow lectionary. Baptists probably would never. They just probably, but they might.
Spirit drive. Yeah,
they might, but they might not let you know that. You know?
The old Baptists will show up and preach on whatever hits them at the
moment. What I do, I will be going good on what I feel is spirit given subjects, and then I'll bottom out and I'll be as dry. August is a dry month. for me, sermon-wise.
Maybe you need to go to Hawaii for about 2 weeks and then just have an associate to come back.
Well,
come back to-
Thank you.